verifying it.
Welcome. The noon hour is here, and it's time to talk about the teams you love with the guys you know and trust.
Yeah, that's right. We are the best.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Sometimes both of you treat me like I'm the kid at Christmas that just wants to help wrap gifts. And you're like, no, just go on. We'll wrap the gifts. And I'm like, but I want to help wrap the gifts. And you guys are like, no, you don't do it right. So you guys, you just go out because we don't want you to see the gifts anyway. I'm trying to help. I want to be helpful.
Okay. I appreciate that. I was just saying I offered to help Lloyd do something. And Lloyd's like, I got it. Leave me alone.
How long has this something been?
Yeah, he's been asking me to do something for like a week now, I think. I think it's been a week.
So let him help you. He wants to help.
I'm just saying, I got an audition. I can cut some stuff and I can mix some stuff.
Can you just let the man walk your dog? Just let the boy.
I saw what
walk
happened when he walked somebody's dog. Not doing that. No. Well, no
okay,
part of that.
That dog, I was not walking. That dog was tied to a light post. I had nothing to do with the dog being there.
Oh, man, I love Tuesdays. I just love them. How you doing, buddy? Are you having a great day?
I'm having an awesome day, yes.
Thank you for the sandwich. It was exactly what I needed before this show kicked off.
Well, like I said, and like Kalani Sitake mentioned, some days we know our guy needs a sandwich.
Yeah. I may need to seek help with the amount of mayo I've been putting on my sandwiches lately. I went extra mayo, and then I squirted mayo on every single bite, as you watched.
I was impressed by that.
I know. I was embarrassed by it. You were impressed by it. I need help.
No, I'm right there with you.
Well, you
But yours is more of a medical condition.
Yes. You saw the first bite. Slowed down a bit. Took me a second to work it down the gullet. And the second bite, I put a little bit more mayo on, and you saw. Right down the hatch.
Boom.
I was able to get 10 bites in without a single hang-up. So
it's not like you want to eat all that mayo.
Oh,
you have to eat that mayo.
I love mayo so much. It's so good.
Is there any time in which Miracle Whip is acceptable?
No, never.
I cannot think of one.
Maybe in a deviled egg. Maybe. There's some.
Well, there's never a time deviled eggs are acceptable.
I love deviled eggs so
much.
Oh,
they're so disgusting.
Like, what?
Oh.
Are you out of your mind?
Honestly, look, everybody who's listened to the show knows that we have a strong affinity to all foods out there. But deviled eggs to me are like key lime pie to you.
You're
like,
from the country, man. That feels like it's a country dish.
It's like.
This feels really wrong for a Declo guy.
The texture. Look, I like fried eggs. I like poached eggs. I like scrambled eggs. But you give me a hard-boiled egg, and I have a gag reflex when I think about a hard-boiled egg.
I'm in shock, because I can't tell you how much. Lloyd, do you like a deviled egg?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I love a deviled
egg. A little paprika on there.
Or a little crumbled bacon.
Yeah. Oh, man, nailed it.
We'll take the crumbled bacon off of that, and then I'm down.
I can't stop.
With the bacon.
just eat the
crumbled. Just give me
some minus the deviled egg.
Yeah, just give me the crumbled bacon and we'll be okay.
I could see you at a party just picking the crumbled bacon off of the deviled egg. I can't keep my hands off them. If they're around, I have to have my fingers on a deviled egg. I love the creaminess and the by the way, it is mayo, but you asked me if there's ever an acceptable time. That would be the only time it's acceptable. Maybe on a half and half in a egg salad sandwich, like, you know, making an egg salad, maybe a half and half, but you can't go all Miracle Whip in an egg salad sandwich. It's got to be a minimum a half and half, but I would prefer all mayo.
Yeah, just get rid of it. It shouldn't even exist.
I'm bummed that you don't like deviled eggs.
No. Ooh, no.
What do you think? Poll question. 50-50? Like and dislike? Deviled eggs?
Deviled eggs?
Yeah.
I get it. I'm in the minority on this one. I'm sure it'll probably be 80-20 like.
I feel like every time you do that, you're trying to sway the vote.
Look, there's only one person who can sway a vote, and that's Hans.
No, I'm a little gun shy. I'm not going to run a poll question for a while. This last one took the wind out
that
of my
one
sails.
The Eagles versus
Coldplay. It took the wind out of my sails. I'm not quite ready to jump back on the poll wagon yet. I know they're fun, but I'm not ready. So we'll let this deviled egg
but
thing.
But come on, polls are fun.
Yeah, I know, Jake.
If you've got an opinion on deviled eggs, feel free to tweet it.
Oh, come on, just send it out. Come on.
I'm not ready. I can't send take it another out. Loss in a poll.
You're not going to lose this one. I'll buy you another sandwich if you lose this one.
Are you being serious?
Yeah.
Okay.
Poll is
on its way.
I got now he's trying to see how he can sway the vote so he can get another sandwich.
I got an expense account now.
Oh.
No, no. Ooh.
Hey, yeah.
Maybe that's a
wow.
conversation.
Wow, why would you
him.
Even tell him that?
Pretty excited about
jeez.
This. So I will send this poll question out momentarily, but I did want to mention I had a severe amount of PTSD last night watching the Monday Night Football game.
Really?
Severe. Like, went into hyperventilation. Did you see when Al Woods jumped off sides? Did you watch this? Did you watch the
I watched a good chunk of it, yeah.
Game? So Al Woods, he is a veteran defensive lineman. He's been around the game for a long time. Well, New Orleans has stopped, and they line up to kick a field goal. It's tied 10-10. They line up to kick a field goal that would have been a 43-yarder. And it would have given Seattle an extra minute and a half, and it would have been a 43-yard attempt. So less likely chance of making it, plus
more
Seattle
time.
Would have had over a minute and a half to get that ball back and go on a drive. Al Woods jumps off sides on the field goal block team. I have zero connection to Al other than I've watched him for a lot of years. Zero connection to Seattle or New Orleans. I don't care about either team. I just want good football. But when that happened, I almost threw up in my lap because I've actually had that happen to me. And it is the most embarrassing, horrifying, lonely moment. You just stand there like, because even your teammates don't want to say, hey, it'll be okay, because it won't be okay. Because you just jumped offside. You're narrowing the gap on the field goal attempt, and you're allowing them a first down to burn more clock before they kick the game-winning field goal.
You're staring at a football. You know you're not supposed to move until that football moves.
You've been doing it since you were 8.
Yeah.
You've learned about a football and its movement since you were 8.
And now, you know they're going to do everything they can to draw you offsides.
Now, you saw the guy next to him shifted. The guy to his left, his own teammate, kind of leaned forward, and then Al took the big step across and made contact with the guard who was at the front line for that field goal attempt. But it is one of the worst moments in football because you can't hide, and everybody's looking at you. And then the refs get on the mic, and they're like, that's encroachment, number 72.
72, everybody, look at 72. Look at a big idiot he is. He, when everybody knew that they were trying to draw people off sides, he actually did jump. Can you believe it?
He's
holy
a big,
crap,
animal.
I cannot believe this idiot. We're going to reward New Orleans 5 yards, and may God have mercy on his soul.
I know as an official it's not my job to encourage this, but this might be a good time for the fan base to boo. You know, like, oh, the worst possible.
You know who else
thing.
Is listening right now? The general manager. And knowing that his contract is not guaranteed, do you really want an idiot like this on your team?
Oh, man.
First down.
Oh. I tried to flush it out of my brain because I actually laid down to go to sleep. And it was these little moments dancing through my mind, standing on the film or on the field. And not having a single teammate come up and like stand by me.
Well, it's like you like. I mean, look, we're all in this day and age. You know, we're concerned about illnesses and viruses, and if somebody screws up in a bad way, you want to distance yourself from them because you don't want any of that stink to get on you.
Yeah, yeah, like, it's true. It's like, I'm not encouraging this. I'll be over here.
I'm like, yeah, I'm not gonna give this guy any support because he's a primo target number one, and I don't want any of that friendly fire.
And I probably better send a tweet afterwards denouncing what he just did because I don't want to be culpable.
Yeah, everybody, we hate him too.
Oh, man. Anyways, fun Monday Night Football game. I know we've got important stuff to talk about, but loving Monday Night Football, loving the NFL. Cannot wait for tonight. I've got JP and his family, and I've got Scotty. Like, this is a big night of Jazz basketball. Like, this is party night Jazz basketball, Hans Olsen style, because this Jazz Denver
matchup. Is that like animal style?
Kind of animal style. Throw a little extra of the sauce and some grilled onion on it, and we call it the Hans Olsen Jazz Night Party.
This is Hans Olsen with some baby carrots and some ranch dressing. Let's go.
And you bring the meat.
And you bring the barbecue.
You bring your own BYOM.
All right.
I got the carrots.
Starting lineup right now, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup. Starting Lineup on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Starting Lineup brought to you by Peach Windows, Utah's premier window and door retailer, combining beauty and technology on windows and doors all the way back since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255.
Well, Scotty, we didn't have a ton of time yesterday to review the BYU or the Utah games. And this morning, I had a blast just going back watching both games or parts of both games. And I wanted to start out a little bit with BYU because they've got another big matchup coming up this weekend against a Power 5 team that has got themselves on a nice little win streak and has some coaching crossover stories that are really interesting. So this BYU game coming up is really big. And I went back and watched a lot of this BYU-Washington State game. The offense is smooth. They are solid and sound. I hope that they stay on their running ways. Although, against Virginia, I can't. We can get into that a little bit later.
You can get away with that against Washington State. I don't know if you're gonna. That's going to work against Virginia because Virginia is going to score some points in this game.
They're going to score some points. So, Connor Pay and Joe Tukuafo, the center and guard for BYU, awesome games. The outsides, Isaac Rex, Dallin Holker, Freeland, all those guys on the outside blocking, excellent games. Wide receivers, great job in the blocking game. When that run game is really going, I want people to know that those wide receivers are absolutely locking down corners and safeties. They're locking them down. That's how you're seeing Algier get those 12 and 15-yard cutbacks, and I might need to do more highlight on that. So BYU's offense, I don't have a ton of issue with right now. I feel like things are good, even though I don't expect to see James Empey. That's just my gut feeling.
Well, and I think if you listen to James Empey yesterday, who joins us every Monday at high noon, I think you got a pretty good idea that James is going to be out.
Yeah.
At least this upcoming week.
Yeah, I would say minimum. So there are a couple things I worry about offensively, but for the most part, I'm good. Scotty, some of the defensive plans – and we've seen a lot of different shifts. There was a completely different front run against Baylor that was run against Washington State. And sometimes, and I know the word gimmicky gets thrown out there, I wouldn't say that the defense is gimmicky. I don't think it's a gimmick. I just think that whoever is putting together those game plans for BYU's defense, and I think that there are a lot of different minds at work there that are throwing in bits of advice. I think that they're throwing in their best defensive system against the offense that they're going to see that week. You saw how much different it looked against Baylor They tried to play things a little bit more close to the line. They played four downs. And they tried to do things a little bit more aggressive in the gaps. It didn't help. Didn't stop. Baylor still got their yards. Washington State, it was rush three. And it was drop eight. And there really wasn't a ton in between. They ran a couple of blitzes, but it was rush three, drop eight. I wanted to just talk for just a second from a defensive lineman's perspective. I would be frustrated as hell to play in this system. I'm just going to be flat out honest with you. I would be frustrated. I'm sick of being switched around. I'm a three technique. Why am I playing on a five technique? I'm a three technique. Why you got me on a tilt nose? I'm a two and three. Or I'm a nose technique. I'm Kairos Tonga. I want to play at that nose technique. I want a two gap. Whatever my responsibility is, let me do that. And then don't put me in a three-man rush or a three down 80% of the time as a defensive lineman. Don't do that to me. Because that puts me on a five against three. And, Scotty, you know from your time playing football, when you got a five against three, as a defensive lineman, you're getting cherry-picked. I'm coming on an outside rush on an offensive tackle. I go to spin inside because I've got some leverage. And I've got a guard.
Guard's waiting right there for you.
That greets me with a forearm to my throat. I've had it happen a thousand times. I'm a nose tackle. I'm rushing into a defensive – or I'm rushing into a double team every single freaking play. Every play. You're either rushing to the left into that guard and center or the right into that guard and center. And all they do is they bump you and the center just kind of jabs you. And then they toy with you. And if you try to make any move one way or the other, then you've got another offensive lineman that punches you in your face.
And meanwhile, after the game, you're hearing people like, well, can't they get a pass rush?
Oh, don't.
These guys can't get a pass rush. These guys are no good.
Oh, don't do that. Oh, it is the bane of my existence right now covering BYU football. Because people are like, well, I just don't understand why BYU's defensive line gets away with, you know, less than a sack a game sometimes. It's like, if you had any idea how big of a pain in the butt it is to even get pressure when you're rushing three against five. And that's three against five at the minimum. Sometimes you've got a running back that's sitting there chipping as well.
So let me ask you this, from your perspective and playing football at the highest level, how common is it when you've got a defense that schemes against the offense? Because usually, you know, there's a lot of teams out there that essentially say, this is who we are. And this is what we're going to do. You deal with it. Because offense is always, you always hear that philosophy, well, we're going to take what the defense gives us. Here it seems like it's reversed, and BYU's altering who they are defensively to every offense that they're playing.
Okay, first of all, that's a correct observation. They are. So I think you're right on the money with that. Secondly, it's so much easier to identify a identity offensively. Like I can look at a coordinator and I can say, oh, he does this. That's what he loves to do. And that's his base. And that's great. You need to be able to identify something with an offense that gives you an identity, because then you recruit to your identity. You build your system sound to your base identity. And it's easy to do that offensively. Just so people know, every defense I've ever played on, it's the same defensively. You've got a base identity. What is your base identity? Oh, well, Kyle Whittingham. We know what his base identity is. We know that he loves to play big downs and he loves big defensive linemen that stop the run. And then he's always had fantastic corners that can play press, so they can bring a lot of different blitz packages. Right now with this BYU defense, their only identity, in my opinion, the only identity that they have is, we are going to play to the score. That's it. We are going to play to the score, which obviously it's helping them win, but it is causing a tremendous amount of frustration on a lot of different levels. But really, does that frustration matter if they finish 10-2? Does it matter? You have to ask yourself that. If my identity is, okay, well, we know you score 28. We're going to hold you to 26 in this game because we believe we can get 32. If that's my identity and I run everything in front of me and I keep everything in front of me and I'm playing my style defense and just trying to limit the score, not trying to shut you out.
Yeah.
just trying to limit the score. Well, that's, I guess that's an identity. But in the meantime, I would be beside myself as a defensive lineman with this. I'd be like, what are we doing? Like, am I that unimportant to you that it doesn't matter where you're throwing me and what you're doing with me? I've got to go here and here and here. And I first of all, I don't even know how some of those guys keep it straight. I had base defenses in probably 16 variations off of calls in a college game, and about 32 variations off a call in the NFL game, that it was already difficult, let alone coming to me and saying, hey, we're going to put you at a five technique this week. What? I don't play on islands. I don't play contain. I don't have the speed of lateral speed to play contain. Yeah, but that's what we're going to do. It would be really frustrating to me. And I could be speaking out of the side of my face right now. I have no idea what these defensive line think, what any of them think. Have no idea. What I'm going off of is what I was watching against Washington State. And I'm watching, you know, five or six different defensive linemen rotating in, playing different areas, and getting double teamed and smacked every time they tried to make a move.
I just want to circle back a little bit, just from an ability to process, because you have to process so much out there on the field. You have to know so many different assignments already in just your base defense. How taxing is that mentally?
I don't even know how they do it. I don't even know how they do it. And unless it's like, yeah, we're going to move you out to this position, but all we're asking you to do is these two things. But then that just severely limits your defense, right?
Yeah, that would be my thought.
It's like, okay, so we're going to move you out to a different position or into a different position this week, but we're just going to do this. Even then, to me, it's taxing. I don't know how you do it. For me, switching from the right side to the left side, it was difficult enough. Having to go from a right stance into a left-handed stance and account for all those different things, just switching sides was difficult enough for me, let alone positions, let alone area assignments, let alone base techniques of how to shut down the edge and make sure I'm keeping contained. Then it's like, well, I don't understand why that defense didn't stay home. Why didn't he stay home? Well, that's the first time he's been playing out there in the last 2 weeks. Yeah. So he didn't stay home because that's a small detail of a big scheme that's really difficult to follow through. I do need to attach this caveat, though. They held Washington State to 19 points. And BYU scored 21 points, which gives you the win. Just like they held Utah State to 20 points and scored 34, and held South Florida to 27 and scored 35, and held Arizona State to 17 and scored 27. You know, they held Arizona, Utah, Arizona State, and Boise State all under 20 points. And then you had Utah State that was right at 20. So you have to be really careful when you're critiquing something like this, because it's working to a large extent. It is working. I'm just coming at it from a defensive lineman standpoint. And then, you know, I'm sure if Ituiaki or if Kalani were talking to me right now, they'd say, well, Hans, what do you want to do? Play a three technique or win? What do you want to do? Okay, well, I want to win. Okay, well, then if you want to win, we're asking you to do this, this, and this. So do it and shut your mouth.
No.
You see the sticking points.
Do you think BYU could be better if they were a little bit more consistent with what they're asking guys to do?
I'm glad you asked that. I don't think so.
So they're doing the right thing.
I think they're doing what they need to do with the personnel to a large extent. That doesn't mean that I should just be happy with what I'm watching. But to go four downs right now, where you're down three interior linemen, It's really difficult. And I don't know what they're going to have back for Virginia, but it's really difficult.
Well, it's really going to be difficult against this Virginia offense, too. And we'll get you ready for that game. Remember, Cougar Preview Show coming up tomorrow from 1 to 3. Then on Thursday, it's your U Preview Show from 1 to 3. And then Friday, it's a Football Friday. And by the way, for all you Aggie fans that get a little salty, we got a whole coaches show coming up tonight. Remember, me and Blake Anderson.
How long does that go?
That's an hour-long show.
Whoa.
Every Tuesday at 7 o'clock.
Get your belly full.
Exactly. Come up and hang out with me. Old Chicago. Go get some pizza in you.
Yeah. Go meet Coach.
They got these barbecue chicken rolls. Imagine a cinnamon roll, but filled with barbecue chicken and ranch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's actually just a roll.
But it's a roll.
It's baked up.
Yeah, it's actually really
That sounds really,
really good.
Yeah. Are you and Coach, are you roped off so people can't get in?
Not really,
does
no.
Does Ajay fight people away from you?
Ajay does a good job of being like, hey, when that's his world, and when he gets to bark at people a little bit, he's like, you get away.
Oh, is he the get back guy?
Oh, he's the get back. Oh, he's a great get back guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he's a little pit bull.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. He may be a bit diminutive in height, but as you mentioned the other day, he is sturdy.
He's sturdy. He's broad-shouldered. He's got leverage. If he has to get under your pads, he will.
He will.
I don't think you're going to get lower than him. Hey, so if people come up, can they eat a barbecue chicken roll and come and meet you and Coach?
They could, absolutely. Old Chicago, tonight in Logan, 7 o'clock.
You can meet Coach Anderson.
Right there. You can. In fact, I give a whole segment in which I give Ajay a wireless mic, and he roams around the place, and they can ask him questions. So they don't have to hear me yammering for a whole hour.
Do people realize this takes all their ability away to complain? It takes all of their ability away. Because here it is, served up on a beautiful dish, 1 hour of Utah State Aggie football.
Yeah, but that's only 1 hour, and he's only on the station once a week.
No.
Well, he's actually going to be on in about 45 minutes from right now.
I can't wait for this conversation.
Actually, 35 minutes.
Right? One of the craziest scenarios in all of football happened this weekend, and his team happened to be on the other end of this crazy scenario instead of being the one on the crazy scenario. So I'm excited to talk to him.
Well, there's a lot of Utah State fans that when they see a game go the way that it did, usually in the past, especially in those dark years, that was happening to Utah State. That was not happening.
Oh, it's true.
Yeah, there's some bad juju there for a lot of years. But now it's going their way. They're 5-2 on the season. We'll talk to Blake Anderson coming up in about 35 minutes from right now. But, Hans, we're at your home away from home. Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. Some good dudes down here ready to help you out.
This is my world, and these are my guys. I got their back. They got my back.
In fact, I just took a ride in Hans' truck, in a Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket truck.
What'd you think of it?
Beautiful ride. Absolutely beautiful.
That is an F-150. I think it is the finest truck on the truck market. Fight me. I don't care. I know that there's Chevy guys out there. In fact, I was just shamed by a Chevy guy. Lark, you know who you are. You shamed me yesterday about being in your driveway in a Ford. But I will stand by it. F-150 is the finest truck.
But let's say Lark is a Chevy guy and he wants a Chevy truck.
He could get it here.
He can get it here, too.
For a heck of a price.
Yep.
Yeah, and he could bring his in, and he could sell it and get into a Ford for a better price, too. Six great locations across the Wasatch Front. The big green buildings where they're saving you thousands upon thousands. There's a couple of things. You can bring your car in, and you can sell it to Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. They'll also put it on consignment. So they'll sell your car for you. They'll take your car under your name, put it on their lot, and sell it. They'll do that for you if that's what you want to do. And a lot of people don't have a place where they can park a car with a for sale sign. By the way, don't do that because then you get weird people calling the for sale sign number and weird people showing up. You do not want to do that. Bring it to Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. Let them sell it for you or let them buy it from you. And remember, number one in inventory in the state of Utah. As Scotty mentioned, if you're a Chevy guy, if you're a Lexus guy, if you're a BMW guy, they have the largest selection of used vehicles in the state of Utah. You're going to find the make and model that you're looking for. Plus, you get to work with the great guys at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. Come up here to the Murray location. Say hi to us. We got jazz gear. Come shake our hands. We absolutely love our listeners, and we'd love to meet you.
It's all right here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
The new Zone lineup is here. With the best coverage of the sports you love and the teams you can't live without. Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10, followed by Jake Scott and Ben Anderson from 10 to noon. Get your daily fix of Hans and Scotty from noon to 3. And then The Zone welcomes Unrivaled with Alex Keery and former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell to the team. Weekdays from 3 to 6, live and local. All day, every day. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, thanks for making us part of your day. Hey, we're going to be giving away tickets today. It's the Jazz. It's the Nuggets coming up tonight. 8 o'clock start time. I am fired up, man. This game that we've got circled for quite some time.
You have tickets for tonight?
I have tickets for tonight. No Eagle
That's
Mountain.
That's the biggest ticket in town.
No Eagle Mountain Assemble.
And he's already going. What are you talking about?
Do you
about?
Have 30 tickets for tonight? Because Eagle Mountain needs to get out to a game.
No Assemble.
In fact, disassemble.
Oh, I can't wait for this game tonight.
Are you going to the game tonight?
No, I'm not. No, I've got the little, just a little basketball gathering. Some basketball
Oh,
minds.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Basketball minds coming to the house. It's well, a gathering of the basketball
I didn't know if
minds.
That was a gathering of your buddies at the Toyota Club or not.
Oh, no. No, not that one. I wish it was that one. Because this is one of the bigger games that we're going to see all year long. Regular season. Right?
I know, right?
Yeah,
that's the thing.
This is the biggest one I've got circled.
Well, it certainly is the biggest game so far this season. No, this is – you brought up a really good point, and I hadn't really thought of it like this before because it's a long 82-game season. And so sometimes I think – and I get a little annoyed when people get – too caught up in big wins or big losses throughout the course of an 82-game season. But you've brought me around on thinking on this a little bit because I think your early season games mean more just because there's a little bit more try-hard in these early parts of the season. Now, granted, once you get into January and the doldrums of February and guys are missing games and you got DNPs for rest and things like that, then – I mean, every game matters, but those you can kind of tamp down a little bit. But I think you're spot on in early season games when you're trying to make an early impression, you're trying to show the rest of the NBA that you're not to be messed with. I think the win against Sacramento was good in the way that they won it with a tied game and going on a 13-2 run to put some distance between you and the upstart Kings and say pat, pat, pat on their little heads like that was a nice effort, but we're still – the reigning Western Conference number one seed from last year. We're still one of the best teams in the NBA. Know your role.
Yep.
And now you got Denver rolling into town, which, look, Denver wants a piece of you. You got the reigning MVP who doesn't like Rudy Gobert, and Rudy doesn't like him very much. There's going to be a lot of emotions. It's an early season game where people want to kind of flex their muscles a little bit. So, yeah, this is going to be a fun one tonight.
It's going to be a great one. So the way I look at it, too, this will be the most meaningful game that the Jazz and the Denver Nuggets will play until they get to postseason. And I'll give you a couple of reasons behind that. Number one, this game is going to feature everybody with the exception of Rudy Gay and Jamal Murray, who you might see in the postseason.
Correct.
So that might not be the case when you see Denver down the road. This is two teams that are pretty rested, pretty healthy. Denver has three games under their belt. They just lost to Cleveland last night. Remember we talked about them having to play against Cleveland at home. And Cleveland beat them up pretty good. They roughed them up pretty good. But you still have a fairly healthy, fresh Denver Nuggets team that's going to be coming into Vivint Arena that should be fully loaded with the exception of Jamal Murray. and a Utah Jazz team that should be fully loaded with the exception of Rudy Gay. Both of them motivated. In fact, Denver may be motivated a little bit more for a couple of reasons. Number one, you just lost to Cleveland.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
And you want to get off that bus really quick to start the season. They want to show dominance, that everything that happened last year wasn't a fluke. And the Utah Jazz, take a guess at what the line is for the Utah Jazz tonight in Vivint Arena against Denver.
I have not seen it. I'll go Jazz 3.5.
More.
Really?
Yep.
6?
More.
Stop it.
Jazz 7.5.
Oh, man.
It opened at the Jazz 7.5. I think it might be Jazz 7 now, but it opened with the Jazz as a 7. And I don't know if that's odds makers looking at Denver losing to Cleveland last night, having to be on a back end of a back-to-back in Vivint Arena against a Jazz team that is looking good. But
I mean, Denver's got no significant injury news. I mean, outside of Murray, which you weren't planning on anyway.
Right, that I've seen. Have you seen anything?
No.
I didn't see anything coming out of this.
Denver injury report. Nope.
I didn't see anything coming out of that Cleveland game.
Nope. Of any substance outside of Murray, which, again, you weren't planning on him playing this game anyway.
So I put a lot of weight into this game, and the thing I'm most excited to watch tonight, and what I would suggest all Jazz fans watch tonight, is the way the Utah Jazz use personnel to throw at Jokic. I want to see what Quinn Snyder does, because Nikola Jokic has been the Terminator on the court against the Utah Jazz.
And he's going to be that way. Look, he's going to get his points. He's going to get his rebounds. He's going to get his assist against the Jazz. But can you limit that to a point where he doesn't completely dominate the game? I mean, there's certain players that are going to get theirs, and they're just such a dominating force in this league that there's going to, you know, they're going to do their damage.
Mm-hmm.
And Jokic is going to do damage tonight. We're going to talk about a stat line tomorrow. We're like, wow, Jokic did this, this, and this. But at the end of the day, did you keep him from making winning plays? Did you keep him from making the guys around him better? Did you keep him from making big plays down the stretch to ensure that you hold on and you get a win? Those are the things you need to see.
And I love watching how – I like to watch to see what Denver is doing defensively to try to limit Donovan Mitchell too. And we've seen them through the few years that we've seen Donovan Mitchell against Denver, we've seen them throw different people at them, and they've got guys that can defend a little bit in the backcourt, guys that at least take pride in being active defensively. So I'm excited to see what Denver throws at Donovan Mitchell to try to slow him down. And I expect the Utah Jazz to get the win tonight. They've had extra rest. They're a little more fresh. Denver is coming off the back end of back-to-back. I don't expect it to be an 8-point blowout or a 9-point blowout.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I just don't see that. I'd love to see – I mean, I'd love to see it. I just don't anticipate seeing that out on the court tonight.
I would set the line where you
– 3.5.
Yeah.
That's spot on where I mean –
That's where I'd set the line.
And if it's 3.5, I'm not touching it, which is probably why Vegas wants that 7.5-point line, because they know there's going to be some action coming in on Denver on that game.
Yeah, a ton. I'm sure people be throwing money at that. Denver, what was interesting last night, Scotty, Denver put 15 different guys out on the court, had a heavy rotation, brought 10 guys off the bench. Now, limited minutes for a bunch of them. And
it's not like that game was – I mean, it wasn't a blowout until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, wasn't a blowout until –
it was only a four-point – or no, I think like a 3-point game going into halftime and a 4-point game going into the fourth quarter.
So they rotate a lot of different guys in, probably just to see them there at the very back end. And remember, Jazz fans, got Austin Rivers. I know when you say the name, it doesn't send fear down your spine.
Kind of does. Because it seems like the only thing he does is play well against the Jazz.
Comes in to crack the Jazz.
So help me, if that guy goes out for 35 tonight, now then I'll be a little salty on the show tomorrow.
Even if he went out and went, let's say, 6 of 8 from 3 and let's say he ended up with, you know, 20, 30 points.
Yeah.
I would look at him and be like, how does this happen? How do you let Austin Rivers do this in the Vivint Arena?
I don't care if Joe Ingles goes up to Quinn Snyder and says, hey, why are we doubling Austin Rivers? We're leaving Jokic wide open in the post. I don't care. Like, hey, you know, Will Barton's kind of heating up a little bit. I don't care. It's fine. No Austin Rivers tonight.
You see Joe Ingles hitch on, man on with Jokic and Rudy Gobert rotate out to Austin Rivers. Joe's trying to body up against Jokic.
I don't know if this is a great fly. I don't know.
Doesn't
no
even
Austin
matter.
Rivers.
Doesn't even matter. But one thing, we're not going to let him drop 30 points on us again. But I do like this Denver Nuggets starting five.
All right, caller number 12 right now. Time to give away tickets. You want to see the Jazz? You want to see the Nuggets? Of course you do. We got the hottest ticket in town, and we will be giving away a pair of tickets every hour throughout our show. And by the way, you want to be listening to Unrivaled, too, because, well, let's just say it really heats up. I got some four-packs that Alex Carey and Scott Mitchell will be giving away as well. So your chance to win tickets all day long right here on the Zone Sports Network to the Jazz and the Nuggets. Caller number 12 right now, 855-340-ZONE, 855-340-ZONE. If you do not win tickets, well, don't worry. Your next opportunity coming up at 1:30 today. We're about 15 minutes away from hearing from Blake Anderson, head coach at Utah State. Also coming up a little bit later on in the program, we'll continue to get you ready for the Jazz game tonight, a look in on shoot-around, as well as Bronco Mendenhall. You'll hear from the head coach of the BYU. Muscle memory there. Of UVA. You'll hear from him a little bit later on as well, right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Slow Mo Joe.
The Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
Quinn Snyder had a good line after the opener, acknowledging that he'd been asked more questions about Jared Butler than he had about Rudy and Donovan combined. What can you tell us about Butler? Maybe not so much production, but more about who he is, what he's like, that kind of stuff.
He sits next to me in the locker. He's annoying. off court, he's pretty quiet, kind of does his own thing. He obviously got a pretty big opportunity in the preseason. I think for his age, the clear-cut thing is like the poise that he plays with. He doesn't get sped up. He plays with his own speed, which is pretty cool to see in a younger kid. On court, he'll help us at times this year. I think he shows signs every time he's out there of how good he's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Catch Jazzman Joe Ingles with DJ and PK every Thursday morning on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, let's go.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5 1280 The Zone. It's another edition of What You May Have Missed. All brought to you by our good friends down at Built Bar. Nick and the crew ready to hook you up. Double chocolate, peanut butter brownie, salted caramel, 100% real chocolate, and Hans also 100% real delicious.
Yeah, it is. Everybody.
Order yours today at Built.com. Save 10% off if you order the promo code ZONE at checkout.
Creamy, chewy, delicious,
yes.
Full of protein.
17 grams of protein, only a few grams of carbs, and very few net carbs, too, when you add up all the – when you do the math on that stuff.
Very few net carbs.
How do you figure out net carbs again?
Yeah, you take the sugar alcohols, and you take the carbs, and you minus your sugar alcohols and the carbs. And then you come to your net carb. And you want low net carbs.
Yeah.
I don't know what a sugar alcohol is. I don't think you can get drunk on it. But if you can, I know a guy who would. I'm not pointing at myself either.
Won't get drunk on those sugar carbs.
Because you know.
Sugar alcohol.
You know, sugar is used in snow cones.
Johnny's like, man, 99 in Rio with Air Supply. You don't even want to know about sugar alcohols.
Hey, Scotty, I want to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
How is it that the Houston Astros don't have some type of postseason ban for being garbage can bangers. How are – and we've got game one of the World Series that nobody cares about because the Astros are in it, and they're probably cheating again, and nobody's figuring out how.
And the Braves are the Braves. It's just – look, there's a lot of people I know that are really fired up about this. And but
like as in excited for
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and which I just – I'm having a hard time. Like if it was – Lloyd and the Giants, then I'd be fired up because I'd be rooting for Lloyd because we support him in these things.
Always have, always will.
Always will. And so,
okay. What are you doing?
Even if it was
never supported me once.
I always have, always will.
If it was the Dodgers, that would have been great to
no,
see.
No, it wouldn't have. Take that back. I'm so glad they didn't.
Better than the Braves.
I disagree.
All right, so everybody's going to be rooting against the Astros because, you know, they cheated and they won a World Series while cheating.
And got no repercussions.
And no repercussions whatsoever. And they're probably still cheating. They're just doing it in a different way that nobody knows about yet. So it's like you can't cheer for them, but so who are you going to cheer for? The Braves? I don't know. I don't feel like cheering for Atlanta.
No, I don't. I don't feel like cheering for either one of these. Is there any way for both of them to lose?
Is Smoltz still on the mound for them? Greg Maddux?
I don't believe Smoltz or Maddux.
Glavin?
I know Morton and Valdez are
hold on,
are
I'm relevant. Pulling up a roster real quick.
Wait, did you say who?
Is Bobby Cox still managing the team?
You mean
ooh, oops.
God, calm it down, Kevin White.
I don't think he made it to their next stage.
Never mind, my bad.
No, I don't think that those guys are available, but I do know that Charlie Morton is available.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
And Framber Valdez is available.
Bam! Bobby Cox is still with us.
I got really worried because, man, he was old in 99.
He turned 80 recently, but still hanging in there.
I just can't believe it. This is the biggest cheating scheme in maybe even the history of baseball. And the team that cheated is back here. Is it 2 years later? It's only been two seasons, right, since the cheating scandal.
Well, it was
2 years
that it came out, and I think it was 2 years
before that.
That it happened, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you were just receiving penalty for this 2 years ago, and here you are right back in the World Series.
2017 is when they cheated, and won a World Series, and nothing happened to them.
But it wasn't until 2020. Or was it 19?
I think it was 19 when all that info started to leak out.
And for those of you that don't know what happened with the Houston Astros, get yourself out from under a rock and watch a little bit of sports news because it was all you could hear about a year straight was this huge cheating scandal that the Astros threw out there and how everybody hates them. And then the players were immune to penalty and the manager and staff suffered some penalty, but it's the biggest cheating scandal in maybe even professional sports in a long time.
Well, Colton tweets in. He goes, hey, now, there are a lot of Braves fans in Utah. And I know that's true. I just, from my personal standpoint, I can't bring myself to root for the Braves. I just can't. I don't know why. I'm just not a Braves guy. And, you know, growing up, it was always the Braves in the World Series, and they'd blow it more often than not. So I'm just not an Atlanta Braves guy. I know there's a lot of Braves fans here in Utah, probably because there's a lot of Cubs fans. Because when you grew up and you'd, you know, watch a little basic cable, you always had the Cubs on WGN, and then you had the Braves on, was it TBS or TNT? So that's why I think a lot of people kind of gravitate, because that's the team they could watch a lot growing up, especially before you had, you know, the access to all the games like you have now. So I understand that. I don't know. This World Series just – and you know, I'm not a baseball hater. This one just doesn't move the meter for me. Lloyd, I mean, you're – of the three of us, you're the baseball guy. Are you fired up for this thing?
I want to just watch the Astros lose. That's all I'm rooting for.
Because of the cheating?
Because of the whole cheating thing. Yeah. I was so happy that the Dodgers didn't make it because they showed they can only win it all in a pandemic year, in a shortened season.
Hey,
so I was excited to see them lose, as they usually do.
Hey, Scott and Lloyd. So do you know why the Astros are going to win this World Series? Because they cheat. That's why.
And then they found
another
way.
We'll find out how they did it.
In 2 years from now, the Braves are going to be like, boo, 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 they cheated. They beat up garbage cans, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, you knew they were cheaters.
You knew.
The whole league knew they were cheaters. But here they are back there cheating again.
Well, you know why? Because the commissioner says, told all the players, like, look, if you rat out your manager and you rat out the organization, you'll have immunity and you're not going to face any penalties. So these, you set a precedent, like, well, if the stuff hits the fan, I'll just sell out the manager and I'll be fine. I'll just keep playing. I'll still get paid and everything's going to be okay. And I'm going to get a ring along the way.
Nice standard to set, Major League Baseball. Way to go.
All right, Blake Anderson, head coach of the Utah State Aggies. Crazy win. We'll talk about how that thing ended against Colorado State, how bizarre that thing was. I did drop a what the hell just happened at the end of it on the play.
I won't ask Coach about it this time, but I'm going to ask about it next time. If he heard some of the call or if he heard the what the hell just happened call. Was that after the missed field goal?
Yeah. it was a throwback to 2018 because it was Colorado State that it was first uttered against.
Oh, that's right.
So I figure it was kind of a throwback.
Yeah, that it seems appropriate.
Yeah. So we'll talk to Blake Anderson coming up here in a bit. We are live here, though, out and about today. Larry H. Miller, used car supermarket. We're at the Murray location, the big green building. Come in and save thousands.
LHMUsedCars.com. You can check out all six dealerships before you head out to the lot. You can search and look for the car that you're looking for. But I also want people to know, Scotty, Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket is constantly looking for good sales staff. And
hiring.
Yeah, and there are great bonuses out there. Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket has bonuses for sales staff that comes in during training, all kinds of incentives and bonuses to come work with Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. Get versed in the world of sales because that's never going away. And if you need a job, if you're looking for gainful employment, start with Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. And if you're looking to sell a vehicle, bring it to Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. If they don't or can't buy it back from you, they'll consign it. They will sell it for you on their lot. That's how sure they are that they can move your car and how bad they need your car. They need the inventory right now. You are in a position of power. If you've got a used car in your possession, which most of us do, you're in a position of power. They need your car. So bring it in. Leverage it. Get money for it. Bring it in on a trade-in, whatever you need to do. But it's always the big green buildings where they're saving you thousands upon thousands. Whether you need a job, you need to sell a car, or you need to buy a car, it's down here.
97.5, 1280 The Zone. Blake Anderson joins us next. Kevin, what the hell just happened?